Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am Darren Moser, joined as always by my fellow Strandees, Philip and Daniel. Guys, it's a milestone that not many podcasts hit, and for us, even more so because it's our second show together. But we have reached 300 episodes. That is a lot, guys. I don't know. Though I feel kind of bad for new listeners who are like, oh, I'm just going to binge through. Are you? Because there's a lot to listen to. But yeah, I guess humans like round numbers. So yay, milestone, right? It's all a human construct anyway. We're not getting an award. We're not breaking even on the money that we don't make from this podcast. You know, it's just a number, but it's a cool number to hit.
Yeah. Do you know the 300th episode of Star Trek produced?
I looked it up. I was looking it up just in case we were going to do it. It's second season DS9. If I was doing, because I was Googling how many episodes is TOS, how many episodes is TAS, how many episodes is TNG. It was saying second, it was Second Sight. I think it was the episode in season two, Deep Space Nine.
Have us, because they have those little stats in the corner. Isn't it like number produced overall?
I didn't even think to look that. Yeah.
I thought they had that.
Second Sight is 296th.
You're so off.
I was close. Well, that was me doing my quick math. So four more episodes from that then.
Okay, what's four episodes from that?
I'm clicking away.
Click faster, Daniel.
298. 299 is Parallels. 300 is Rivals.
I don't even remember that one.
It was like DS9.
You were like Parallels, which was like, man.
So Rivals.
What's it about, Dan?
Oh, okay. Sorry. That's right, because this is when DS9 and TNG was on at the same time. So,
because
I was thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. You had,
that's where my math messed up then, because I was Parallels doing TNG straight instead of doing.
Yeah.
So Rivals is the one with the guy who is an Elorian. He gets Quark's.
Prince Humperdinck.
Oh, yeah, Prince Humperdinck. That's right. And he has that like game sphere, and it's like, it's so fun.
It's not a great episode.
Parallels was so much better.
We didn't get much Elorian stuff in Star Trek at all.
Really. No, we didn't. True. That's probably it, honestly, other than Guinan.
Soren.
And Soren, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, although Star Trek was better at their anniversary episodes, like 25th, 30th, like, you know, they would have something going on. Like, that's what gave us, you know, Trouble and Tribulations and some other gems.
I couldn't think of anything other than that. I mean, there was obviously Trials and Tribulations.
Voyager did flashback. Voyager had one. Yeah.
But that was the same anniversary, right, though.
Oh,
but I was like,
okay.
Before or after. Like, I remember there's the
25th. Maybe it's the only anniversary I'm thinking of. I thought it was more.
I mean, because the 25th anniversary, I was around. The only thing that I remember, from contemporary remembering, I just know it exists, was the computer game. It's the TOS 25th anniversary game. Which I think I just
didn't.
That was Discovery.
I thought Discovery did something for like
50th
seven. No, but like 700 or 500 episodes. Like, I remember they did something. Like, they actually hit a number, and we were all like, "Great!" But you know, I can't remember what that was. But
yeah, because like I can't think of a lot of legacy stuff. This is not saying anything bad about it. I can't think of any legacy stuff in Star Trek Discovery. I mean, other than like. I'm thinking of like in the future when Michael looked back at Spock and you got to see old Spock hologram.
Right.
But I can't think of anything else necessarily. And the Guardian of Forever, I guess, may have been another callback. But I think that was just.
It's just few and far between in that show. That's how they're playing it. Well, and, you know, I think of, was it Into Darkness or 2009? I think it was Into Darkness where they had Spock look at the photo and it's the Monster Maroon.
It was actually Beyond, I think.
Yeah, I think
Beyond.
It was Beyond.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I couldn't. I knew it wasn't 09, but I couldn't remember which one it was.
Because it was basically, that was the acknowledgement that Nimoy had died. And so that was Spock looking at what old Spock gave him. Because they gave him Ambassador Spock's stuff.
Right. Because it's like, what do you do? It's like, well, it's technically yours-ish. It's like, we got to upstate interstellar law. Because what happens when your duplicate self from an alternate timeline dies? Do you get first right of refusal?
Yeah, I know. So when Thomas or Will dies, who gets whose stuff?
Oh, man. Thomas is like, I don't play the trombone anymore. What am I going to do with this? And Deanna's like, I'm literally his wife. Why did Thomas get all this stuff?
He's like, before, yeah. Kester, I'm now your dad. By law.
Oh, gosh. That's, what? It's like, no, that's not how it works. The lawyers of the future.
Because the way it works, I do now want to know what instrument Thomas plays. Like, is he like, because
that'd be like the
diametrically antithesis. Opposed.
Yeah. Oh, what would it be?
He's not even into jazz anymore, right? He's
like a xylophone classic. Or something.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There you go. He's in an orchestra. He plays the xylophone.
It's like
orchestra.
An oboe or something. Something that would just never be used. And yeah.
Denebian guitar.
Yeah, Denebian guitar. Oh, he plays the Vulcan lyre.
Yeah.
Liar.
That's right.
You had to have to do something in Federation prison. They only had three instruments. The funding is not that great.
The harmonica is still not around.
Look, we've all shared the harmonica.
Ultimate prison instrument.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, as we have hit our nice round number, we felt it was worthy of something.
Dabo.
Yeah, we all made Dabo. Can you get to 300 in Dabo? I don't know how to play Dabo. I'm just, all I know
Nobody
is you spin
does,
the
Darren.
Thing and you say Dabo.
You just spin the wheel and then die.
Now you realize when you say you don't know how to play Dabo, somewhere Quark's ears just perked up.
Oh, well, this gave you.
Let me get you a drink.
It's a very easy game.
Because what? Dabo is like
roulette
and Tongo is like poker.
Craps. Oh,
yeah. But because Tongo uses cards.
Tongo does use cards.
And then they spin the pot true. Like and do stuff. So I feel it's more like poker-ish.
But it's also a little different. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Well, obviously, it's very...
But it's more of a strategy game than a card game. Like, poker's a hard card game, and Tongo seems to have some sort of element of like...
It's no diplomacy. That's what the cool kids play.
I played diplomacy. That was a... Oh, no.
Isn't that what it was with in Lower Decks with Boimler and Rutherford?
Oh, that game. Yeah, where it's got Ferengi.
Like, if you have to lose, basically. If we both feel bad, we have both won.
Which I don't know. I got overshadowed by the Klingon Challenge spoof one, which is just so funny.
Oh, God. They have actually, now that I thought about it, done a lot of board games on Lower Decks. They have done Klingon Challenge. They've done
model kits. They've done all sorts
diplomacy.
Of things. I think there's got to be a Cascot in there. I think there was one.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, board. What else are you going to do if you don't even have your own room? You know, that
true.
Shared hallway.
Well, they go to the bar or that's where they're usually playing.
I think with Lower Decks, that was probably one of the scenes where, I mean, obviously, humor is all about messing with your expectations or subverting. But like when Boimler and Rutherford break in, and I forget what they're carrying. It looks like they're about to shoot a phaser, and they shoot it, and it's just a projection of the diplomacy game they're now going to play. Or it's the PowerPoint slides that they were going to show the Ferengi about how to improve their business. I mean, that was great.
We need to do a Lower Decks rewatch. But again, that's not what we're talking about today. It's been a nice 8-9 minutes of general Trek talk. But I wanted us to kind of go through and talk about some of our favorite moments in Trek. You know, keep it simple and broad across thousands of episodes. But I feel like a lot of these I've kind of seen through, there'll be TikTok or Instagram reels where people just upload little best little bits or whatever. And so often that's how I'll see a lot of Star Trek recently, because it'll just be like, oh, I remember that. And often if it's a good enough scene, I'll be like, okay. And then I'll go and queue up that actual episode and watch the whole episode. And it's That's when an interesting way to queue consume. Up. Ah, yes. I snap my fingers and it just happens.
Hey.
And it's right there. No, the little point up with a flare is never going to replace the stab. So slight sidebar. Is that the equivalent of what does a captain say to go to warp? Does each Q have to have a thing that they do?
And there's the pressure when you're the new Q, like, what's he going to do? Or what are they going to do?
They're like, okay, so it's not like they can't use what other Qs have, but it's more like everybody's done the snap. What are you going to do? It's like,
we've all been the snap.
There's the genie nod, you know, there's the
genie nod. That's true. What did
there's the bewitched nose?
Manda?
Sprinkle.
Was that her name in True Q? I'm trying to remember what she did. What she did, like, I forget.
She kind of like put her hand up and like, she did something.
I don't remember.
No, what?
This should have been trivia from last week.
Something
right?
Like, I can't remember. I don't know if it's two hands or something. I can't remember. Because it was,
you know, it's the whole like
Death Wish that did that.
Yeah.
The two fingers or whatever.
That's good. I like that thought of like Q in training. You have to pick a thing to do to activate your powers. I mean, you don't need to, but I guess you, it's like
when Riker had the powers.
Q Jr. is all like, you know, he's like flipping people off. It's like, you can't make that. Can't make that your thing. It's like, boom. What are you talking about, Riker, Daniel?
Yeah,
I was gonna say when Riker had the power, I think he
Q and Seek or whatever the
stupid Hyden, whatever. Hyden Q.
Yeah.
I think he didn't like throw. Like he had like a throw motion. I can't remember. I can't remember.
That's been a while. Since episode.
Only there was a way to watch that episode again. But last, it's lost to the sands of time. No, I'm just kidding.
And we get the screen accurate adult Wesley in that. So, you know. Or,
I get what you're saying. Yeah, Amanda. I was thinking also Mrs. Q in.
Oh, like, yes.
Did she have.
She did.
Wait, who's Mrs. Q?
Kayla.
Susie Plaxen.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with the puppets.
Yes.
But she obviously invoked her powers, so had
it was
some.
Something.
I want to make a little video now of like what were all the Q trigger motions, because I think they were all different.
They were. But
maybe they just told the actor flourish.
Yeah.
Is it all like the Friends, you know, Ross and Monica, you know?
Oh, yeah. The
hand signals.
Yeah. It's just, I'm just picturing John DeLancey doing all of these, and it's just really funny.
And it was like screen test. All right, John, we're just gonna we're gonna do a couple takes. We'll see what works. You know, feel loose. Let's go and try a few.
He does a little like jig. It's like nothing but the fleet, John. You gotta waist above.
It's a tight shot.
Got to be able to see it. This is only a square.
And remember, you're standing about like 3 inches for Patrick when you do this, because we all have to be.
Yeah. No arm swinging. We don't want to bean Patrick in the head. Keep it real small.
The nod's too subtle. You got to go something a little bit bigger.
Double blink. No, it's not working.
We don't want to get sued by I Dream of Jeannie. It's, you know, those people are very litigious.
These are things you can't do.
Yeah.
I mean, what's funny is there probably might have been a discussion like this, or if they just came up with the snap from the get-go.
This is what you could get paid to do all day if you work in the Star Trek writer's room. Do we leave it to the actor? Yeah, I mean, we can, but then what if, just as an idea, what do we want to suggest? You know?
To pay him every time somebody snaps their fingers.
Oh. Nah. It doesn't work.
Are we
going
to have to ADR that? Do we want him to...
He pulls out a trumpet and plays every time. He's got to summon his abilities with trumpeting. It's like, no, Q, don't
maybe
do
he
that.
Carries a harmonica and then he has
a whole mariachi band in his pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
And a cigar. But no. Anyway, that was fun having a sidebar about Q and Q and Q and Q. But so I think one of my favorite moments, and I think we've all enjoyed this moment, it's from the Gambit. Shocker, I know. But it's the Worf gets dressed down by Data scene, where Worf has been in a huff about, finally, we're going to go save the cap. Jeez, been long enough. I need my prune juice this morning, grumpy Worf. But he takes him into the ready room, and Data just like, I don't want to be around Data when he's angry or projecting anger emotion, because he's not, I mean, he's not actually angry, but you could tell, like, it's, he goes into, he activates the Stern subroutine or whatever he calls it, and is just like, I am, you know, satisfied with your performance. Like, and Worf's like, in what way? It's like, dude.
Name one thing I've done wrong.
Yeah.
Remember like 3 seconds ago? Yeah. That.
And Data just lays it out and he's like, you know, right. And Worf's like, but I was, I've done this before in the past. He's like, true. But you are now first officer and you're supposed to do as I say, not as I do, blah, blah, blah. But no, that's a great moment. I think, I mean, it's a, it's a good balance of that conflict, but not conflict. Like, obviously, Roddenberry hates conflict between our characters, but this was good conflict. This was like, do your job. Like, this is what you, this is a growing moment for Worf. And I think it resonated also because it was about their friendship as well. And, you know,
well, one thing I like about that on multiple levels, I mean, A, it's just, it's, you know, it's a good scene. That's just entertainment and as a story. But I mean, it's a real life lesson. I mean, like, I mean, I know not everyone's in the military, so, you know, not necessarily applying to your real life per se. But as far as leadership, you know, it's like, you know, disagree in private, you know, in public, we do something else.
Right.
But yeah, it, I, and also it did something unique in that it gave Data a command ability. Like, in other words, it's, he's not being Picard. Like, you could just say, oh, he's an android. He's just,
he has his own style, but it's, yeah. Well, and I mean, the other time we see Data in command is on the Sutherland in the Civil War.
I know. It was
Redemption.
It's not, yeah, Redemption Part 2, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And that's also, well, I mean, that's, we say command, he's in a closet with, like, standing right next to his, he's never on a bridge. Anyway. But that was also kind of like about prejudice, like, you know, his quote unquote first officer is like, I wouldn't be a good first officer for you because you're, it's like, dude, you can't just call the android a robot. Like, it's just,
well, and I do love Data does is in a, you know, obviously he's not doing it to be funny because he's not funny, but he does it in such a great way. He's like, but it is again, not to take it in real life. It is how you want to do it. Like, he listen, he, like, you know,
yeah.
I'll, this is the calculation.
Give me your argument.
Acknowledge that you've listened to someone. Mm-hmm. You verbalize that you understand what they said, and then you do it anyway. Because he's like, yeah. I see.
Request,
I understand.
Today.
We're going to request not.
And it's like, well, okay. Because I forget, wasn't that person also a lieutenant commander? Like, they were the same rank as Data. Yeah. So they probably were like, oh, you know. Man, we could have a whole episode about people who bucked the system, because you had that guy who was going against Geordi in the
Arsenal
Freedom. Yeah.
Yep. And then, I mean, in this vein of leadership development scenes, then you have, we've talked about it before, Worf and Sisko.
Yes.
After the Klingon trial scene.
I was just thinking of the trial is also one of my favorite scenes.
There you have, you know,
like, what was your first mistake?
Yeah. And then, of course, the follow-up. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, another scene between those two where it's a very drastically different situation, but where Worf goes back for Jadzia and doesn't complete the mission. And then Sisko basically sidelines him, says, you know, you're not going to be captain now, basically. You can't do this sort of stuff and get away with it. So that's a very different scene, though.
Have you did you watch that episode recently, Daniel?
I haven't gotten there yet. Nope.
Okay.
Halfway through The Magnificent Ferengi right now.
Ooh.
Which is a great episode.
Because it does make me think, because I think that is one of those, not necessarily the episode, but like a thing that sticks in your head or fans' head, that, oh, Worf has a letter of reprimand in his file or whatever it is. You know, can't be captain anymore. But you do want to rewatch it because it's like, A, it's Ben, because Ben did the mission, right? Or, you know, organized it. I'm like, you put a husband and wife together.
What
do you think is going to happen? You know,
true. Yeah.
That should,
I don't
not
know if they were married, but they were,
yes,
you know, partners.
They had to have been, because I haven't seen it yet. No.
Okay, so there you go.
They've already got married. So, yeah, that's a terrible idea. terrible, terrible idea. So,
because yeah, I don't see Ben saying, Jennifer, I'll let you get killed here while I go do this, accomplish the mission. That never would have happened.
You know what's funny is when you said him having a reprimand in his file, I was thinking Ben would have put it right next to his other reprimand that's in his file from when he went and murdered somebody after they killed Galox. Because that's what Picard had to give him. So, you know, it's funny. But
so when he killed, was that Duras?
Was it one of the Durases? Yeah.
No, it was Duras.
It was the elder brother Duras, who, and then they were left with the sisters, which is why they hated him.
It's amazing.
Did he
get any kind of, like, you know, killing, you know, a candidate for president, pretty bad, right? When you kill the actual president, when he killed Galron, no he trouble at Galron. All, right?
Yeah,
no. Nothing happened, right?
But see, the thing was, though, he took his badge off before he killed Galron. Right. Totally different rules.
Well, that was the justification.
He may not have even, I don't even remember.
When he killed Duras, the justification for him not having any, like, official sort of consequences was because he went off ship to do it.
Right.
And I guess,
which doesn't make any sense. It's
like, in uniform,
it
right?
It does not matter.
It's like, well, I beamed down to Vulcan and killed the Vulcan ambassador, but I wasn't on the ship. So no bad.
No harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul.
And there's the same thing that happens with Jadzia, right? She goes on a blood oath mission with all those old Klingons.
Oh, yeah.
And murders a bunch of people. And then she comes back and she's like, can I have a leave of absence to go murder on my murder quest? And Sisko's like, sure, man. I guess
she comes back and she's like clinging the blood off her back. Like, what's that? Sisko's like, what's that? Oh, nothing. Yes, you know, this is old blood. Wouldn't know it.
The difference now is because I think from dramatic purposes, like, Worf has the Batleth in the air. Will walks right in and is like, Worf, no. And then Worf kills Duras. In Galron, there were only Klingons in the room, so they got their story straight when they left. Like, oh, yeah, Marchak killed Galron. Like, I tried to stop him, but...
You know, that actually makes more sense. That probably was the official story because the general Klingon population, I don't think, would accept Martok as the Chancellor if he was not the one to kill Galron.
Worf was really involved with the top.
He really was.
I mean,
he was.
Emperor, right? He got the Emperor on
he
the throne.
He created the position of Emperor. he killed...
He found and killed Galron. He helped install him into power and remove him from power.
Because what does he say in Picard when he does his long intro spiel? He says, like, Bane of the Duras. Did he slay Slayer of Galron? I think he does.
I think he did.
So it's like, dude, you're not supposed to. It's supposed to be Mark's.
maybe there's a
we all did the secret. We did the secret Klingon blood handshake to not say who actually killed Galron.
It's a mystery.
That's a good question. I don't remember if there was. Yeah, well, we all know there was no fallout, but I don't remember there even being a Sisko saying, "Come on, Lieutenant, like you can't go killing the Chancellor of the Klingon." And then no. Maybe there was. Maybe there was a discussion, and somehow Worf knew, and Worf was like, "So how's that Romulan ambassador doing, Sisko?" Like, I don't think he made it back home because he was off ship. But again, that's my level of bad Starfleeters. You know, it's all justified means. It's when they actually do terrible things. It's like, come on. Let's not do that. But, Philip, what are some of your favorite? We'll keep going around. Like we kind of mentioned an episode and we'll kind of spider off of it because those are the best kind of lists, the unorganized kind.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's hard, obviously. It's almost like I just pick a series, and even picking a series is hard. I mean, I'm watching Enterprise now, and so I'm trying to think of an Enterprise moment. And it's hard to think because I'm in season two, which I've mentioned before, which is very good. I'm enjoying it a lot. I don't know if any particular scene jumps out at me. Other than just, well, I'll tell you what, an episode, and we've mentioned it before. It's actually season one, I believe, where they basically invent, or not invent, but install the phasers to the NX-01.
Oh, that's right.
Where they're, you know, you have to turn around because someone has to basically kick their butt, and Trip and Malcolm are like, we're just going to try and install it ourselves. And that's just, it's a really good episode. I mean, that's not necessarily one scene, but like, I mean, the scene of, again, it's a leadership thing of like, because Malcolm, who of course is, you know, is very, I was going to say, by the book, that's the word I'm looking for. But like, he's like, hey, you know, the captain,
by the book, he wrote the book.
Yeah. Captain, you know, captain may think this, but I think, you know, we can do it anyway. It was just a little, you know, a little, light mutiny.
It's called do it first and ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah. Is what the method. Well, it's also very, again, I hate to make it all real life, but it's funny because like they say like, oh, him and Tripp are like, oh, we can do it. And Captain's like, no, we got to go to Jupiter Station. And like, Tripp and Malcolm like look at each other like, what if we just like started the work? And then that wastes less work for the Jupiter station. I was like, fine, whatever. And they're like, okay, we got permission. Yeah. That counts.
And by starting, we mean start it and finish it. But we're focusing on the starting part you said was okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all I heard was start doing work. And so that's what we're doing.
Before we knew it, it was already done.
Look, we got 99% done. So it's all start. There's no end.
But yeah, and also like, because... It sort of ties, it's not that it's a big story point by any means, but there's the slight story point that isn't necessarily like spotlighted that the NX-01 left early when they did their mission.
Before Tuesday.
Exactly. And so they could have done more, but whatever. I'm not going to beat up on Enterprise about like, oh, this isn't done. This isn't done. This isn't done. We need to do this. But yeah. And so obviously they build it. And then I also like experimenting with how it works, you know. They shoot and they're like, oh, that's not a big deal. We tied the power to them, like it blows up the mountain. Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay, I didn't know we could do that. And then, you know. So that's sort of their new phaser setting from now on is blow up mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. There's 1 in 100. There's work on the in betweens. Yeah. No, and I liked that. I remember that episode where, because I'm like, are they really going all the way back to Seoul? Like, it feels like they're really far away now. And why would they? And obviously, they end up not, you know, turning around for that long, but I think it was an interesting aspect of early exploration. There's that, you know, you could always go back and work more on your ship and be safer, but that's not what the edge of exploration really is. And that was a big aspect of Enterprise.
It's also part of the show too, that it kind of deals with, but sometimes kind of doesn't. It's like, everything's kind of already been pre-explored by the Vulcans. Like,
true. We're following the Vulcan map. Like, it's not like no map.
I like how they're basically doing, not for a lot of it, but they're like a lot of asterisks. It's like explored by the Vulcans, but not by humans. Not doesn't count. First explored by humans in the history book.
I'd laugh if they're like, here's a planet. We're going to call it, you know, Smilvard. It's like, but the Vulcans called it, don't care what the Vulcans called it, we're putting it on our map and we're calling it this. People call it, don't care, we're the humans calling it this.
It's now Beta Prime.
That's such a lame name for, like, this is our name for our own planet. It's beautiful. Greek, it has a rich stuff. Tradition. It's like Beta Prime. It's like, what? Yeah. What the heck, humans?
Look, we only know how to name stuff after Greek stuff. So it's either a Roman god or Greek alphabet. Those are your only two choices.
It's kind of true. It's like, well, what's Earth? Like Sol 3? It's like, don't you dare besmirch the name of Earth. Anyway,
yeah, because I mean, and then not the, like the whole series, but like even the little stuff now in season two when they do tactical alert, because during the crazy episode where everyone went crazy, right, and tactical alert. But I think I like that little slow stuff. I mean, I know people may or may not like that, but like it's, you know, it builds and it builds and it builds. And I like that. Of course, I am kind of depressed because I'm now in the episode 20s, which means it's going to end soon, which means Space Florida. And I'm like,
right into Zindi.
Different series. Oh, well. So I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm enjoying this period while it lasts.
Yeah, it might be time for an Enterprise rewatch. I mean, it's only, again, only 4 seasons, long episode count, but still. Yeah, no, there was that. yeah, just fine. I mean, then you have other episodes like, you know, I'd still say In a Mirror Darkly is a fan favorite of just in general. Like, I love the, I super love the intro. I just love the fact that they're like that intro made it worth whatever the intro was beforehand.
What, 3.5 years of the song. And you're like, oh,
yeah, it's like, it's all worth it for like, wait, what is going on? The intro is, it's dark. The colors just inverted. Oh my gosh, that's a cannon. They're dropping bombs. What's going on? Where's the Goddard? Where's the, it's like, nope. This is, and I'm like, oh, there's a Terran symbol. Ah, this is bad. But I,
that's what I think about when I think about Mirror Universe episodes.
But I absolutely loved it. Just the fact that the entire episode took place there. And are you saying that you need a mirror episode in Strange New Worlds, Daniel?
Oh my God, please just don't do anymore. Just no more. I'm just fine with it. No more Section 31, no more mirror stuff, and I'll be happy. I just recently watched probably the most forgettable mirror episode, because I completely forgot it happened, but Mirror Burial, who's been dead for 3 seasons.
Okay, Mirror Burial is a low point. I think
regular Burial is a low point.
Oh, man, was it bad. It's just...
Look, he needed to come back to life so he could sign Kira's yearbook, and because it's a high school romance.
Was it any better? And again, I'm not kicking it because I haven't watched it in a while. Is it any better than Mary Jennifer? I mean, because it just seemed like...
Oh, Mary Jennifer is also not too...
Very
not
bad. Too great.
Yeah.
I just really wish somebody would shake these people and be like, just because they look like them doesn't mean they are them. They're different people. That's true. People.
Every time they see them, they're like, oh, you're just like this person. It's like, really? Like, everything they've done would lead me to believe they're not like that person. But there's they look scene, like them.
There's a scene in the Burial episode where Sisko's talking to Kira and he goes, I went through this same thing. And you have to remember, they're not the same person. And I'm like, yeah, but it took you a whole episode to figure that out, man. Like, you should have just known right away. You know it's
so not. Now I want to see, oh, this would be a mind trip. I want to see Thomas go to the Mirror Universe and see alternate Will. What's that going to be like? Because
wait, is Thomas there also is an alternate Will. Thomas?
Yeah, you would think there wouldn't be an alternate
dead.
Thomas.
It's always got to be one of them's dead. He didn't make it. But no, but imagine, because again, Will in the mirror would be different. But Thomas is also not Will. So it's like, you know, version 2.0 and version 0.5. Like, it's...
Now, see, on whatever series Thomas is on in this world that we've concocted, you know that would be a mirror episode where they come back like, we need a mirror Riker. We can't find Will. You're close enough. Go.
So it's a double blind secret probation where it's like, so Thomas is pretending to be Will and evil Will is trying to also be Will, but neither of them are Will. And I'd actually watch that. That would actually be really funny. And then, you know, Jonathan Frakes just chew the scene.
Yeah, Jonathan's like, oh, well, Brent, see who else can play more than
yeah. Me. Yeah. Look at this. And you know what? And we're going to also have a little video of Thaddeus, the senior Riker from the past, and I'm going to be him too. He's, you know, we all apparently the genes in the Star Trek universe are really strong.
He'll never beat Brent because we've already seen a family member of his played by somebody else, another human being. So he can't be his own dad, unfortunately.
Now, Daniel, have you gotten to Mirror Vic Fontaine yet?
No, we actually haven't even met Vic Fontaine yet at all. But
wait, I forget. Is that a thing?
Yes, he's a real person. Yes,
they make it a joke, but it's actually
how that doesn't joke. Make any sense. I know, he's a holographic character. That doesn't make so any dumb. Sense. That's like having Mirror Moriarty. Yeah. It's like, what?
No, it wouldn't make any sense.
The bounds of reality are gone. What?
It's one of those things where, like, even though DS9 is not necessarily, you know, in my top, but, like, I respect what it is. And so, like, I forget in the documentary whether they talk about it or not, the DS9 documentary, but, like, Ira, I have more respect for you. Like, you can't be like, I was like, I just wanted to do something fun. Like, Ira, no, I know who you are. This is not in keeping with your standard that you have set up. Like, you know.
at some point, I get it, but like, it's like at some point you have to respect the rules that have already been established in the universe. Like, you just can't just do that because you would think it would be fun. That's silly.
Well, or it's like, I think what they should have done is they should have had that actor in alien makeup. So they're still in the episode. So kind of like in Far Beyond the Stars, like, it is a little jarring seeing like Marco Annette and Casey Biggs, like, out of makeup. But that's actually what's interesting about it is, you know, and again, that's all a fantasy type scenario anyway, so it makes sense. But that's the way to include all the characters, not like, and then Vic Fontaine was
Resistance
alive
fighter
in what that doesn't make any sense. Oh my gosh, I forgot they did that.
Of all the people out of makeup in that episode, it's still Michael that throws me the most. Just because
Michael Dorn,
the most as Worf. Yeah. It's like so
your head is so smooth, sir. It's like what? I always get caught off with J.G. Hertzler whenever I see him out of makeup. I'm like, because I mean, obviously the voice. Once he talks, you're like, that's Bartok. But almost without it, you're like, who is this guy? Like, this is
it's. Interesting. I was just watching Enterprise. It was Judgment, I think, is the name of the episode. It's when Archer goes on trial in the Klingon.
Again. Okay.
They do Star Trek VI. But his lawyer is Martok. I mean, not, you know,
right. It's J.G. Hertzler playing another Klingon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Martok Sr. of Colonel Martok, because Colonel Worf.
And I don't know, and I'm sure there's an answer. I can't tell whether they're like, oh, you know, we like J.G. You know, we always want to bring him back when we can. Or we know who can do Klingon makeup and sit in the chair for 3-4 hours.
Yeah,
that is true.
Which is limited. We don't want to get someone for the first time. Because the prosecutor, and I don't know the actor's name, but he's in Babylon 5. Darren, Nehrun, like the Badman Bar guy, plays. Okay. Yeah, and so like he's done Minbari makeup in B5. So, you know, that's a skill. I'm hand quoting that as a skill, you know? And so it's like, you know, they've done it. So it's like, I wonder if that's how you hire your Klingons. Like, who doesn't mind sitting in a chair for 3-4 hours or 5 hours?
Well, not only that, but sometimes people don't fit. Like when they put, Colm in the Klingon makeup, it did not
work. Yeah, it didn't really work.
It did not work at all. It's so weird. So,
Sisko is like a halfway. Like
he
was kind of leaning into it, and you're like, you're kind of crazy, sir. Like you're enjoying this a little too much. Like, hey, not in uniform, no com badge. I can tell anybody I want or do whatever I want.
I think that's funny because obviously I don't know much about Avery, but like what little I've seen of Avery, he's like an actor. You know, I'm hand quoting. He's an actor, which is fine. That's, you know, those are fine people, but they're an actor. You know, they have a craft and they're serious, and that's fine. But like, it's bizarre that I think he likes to ham it up in roles, which you wouldn't think is like, oh, I'm a serious actor that I.
Well, I think, but like you put him in like Noah when he's Noah in the Marban Bashir, or Bashir, I presume, whatever the Bond one.
Yeah.
Like he's chewing that scenery. Like he is loving playing that diabolical Bond villain.
Well, I mean, to be fair, even as Sisko, he is extremely,
he can go to 11.
Expressive, extremely.
You betrayed your uniform. Like, whoa, okay.
He's a big personality. He's just,
He fights Erickson so much that he pulls him into the room with him while he's berating him.
Well, he's throwing Garrick all over the tailor shop.
Yeah. No, he is like that. And that's true. Like, I can't picture Picard being that physical. He doesn't have a physicality.
He'll go inward.
Yeah.
Where Avery goes outward.
And he'll go quiet. So it'll be like the drumhead where he's like sitting there giving testimony. And it's like, I'm about to drop a banger and just crush this case, but I'm going to do it. Like I'm reading Shakespeare and you're just going to get owned. Like that's how Picard does it. Sisko is a little different.
Yeah. The room's going to shake when Avery's doing it.
Picard.
Cause then I think like Picard or Patrick, like doing Sarek you know, when he's doing like the whole feeling all the emotions, like sitting there, I mean, which is an acting challenge. You know, you sit there and you have to feel every emotion and sitting there at a desk, not fun. But he does it. That's what he does. But yeah. And I think also, if we're going to just do captains, I think Kate Mulgrew is another, she doesn't go big either, but she does, you concentrate on her because she's now in charge. She does like the, you know, I don't like bullies and I don't like you. It's like, you just, even whether the camera does or not, you just imagine the camera zooming in on her. It's like, she is now in control of what is going on right now.
No, exactly. Yeah. And you also have, I think it was Cisco, like, I mean, obviously you get a lot from, like, was it Benny Robinson? What, I forget Benny's last name, but yeah. Far Beyond the Stars again, where he is, that's a whole nother. And Far Beyond the Stars was also kind of weird because you had like the follow up with the Vision.
I don't like and that. Season 7.
It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, with Benny in the institute. I was trying to say the correct way to say that word. In the institute with the padded cells. And I don't know. Again, as not a niner, maybe I'm not in the best place to say. But like, I just felt like, are you going to that well? I mean, that's like one of your biggest episodes. And to kind of water down for this.
Yeah, I would have left it alone for sure. But because I don't like that follow up either. It's just.
You mean you don't like finding out that his mom is a prophet? Yeah. You don't? That's not great.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's how we're introducing Ezri, by the way.
Yeah. Well, because Far Beyond the Stars, was that a prophet vision or was that just an episode? I forget.
It's triggered by something. I can't.
Oh, did he touch an orb? I think
an orb, or they find a ruin or something. I can't remember.
It's not the ruin one where he's trying to reconstruct, that's when he like the takes the drug so he could. No, not the clock. It's the obelisk. And he like sees the reflection in the painting and he's like, oh, I know more about where the city of, you know, where the grail is or whatever he's trying to figure out.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Give us another episode, Daniel.
Well, I was going to say, the drumhead, but you brought it up. So now I don't know what
to say it even more, Daniel, from the rafters.
I mean, which half Romulan are you suspecting of?
I mean, that's distilled Star Trek to me, that whole scene. I mean, it's courtroom drama. It's Picard being Picard. It's just so good. He wins by like a well thought out
and turning his adversary's father's words against her. Like, dang, that's cold.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, and I'm not going to try to apply it to the real life. I will just say that episode is up there in being timeless. We'll say it that way. And obviously, the only reason that works, because Admiral Sati retired, I don't think she has shame. Like, in other words, I don't, you know, he doesn't beat her. The only reason he beats her is because another admiral shows up and is like, I'll see what's going on here. And then he walks out of the room because obviously she's crazy. But so that's
I need a shot now in the hallway of he stepped out and we just see his face change and it's got that like, you know, that woman would be crazy kind of look on it. Like, I gotta go get a pad and write this down. Like, something is going on.
Now, I would like to see that scene where the admiral gets up and leaves and everyone's like, oh, okay. And he comes back, like, sorry, I had to take a call. But keep on going.
Yeah. he's like rebuttoning, straightening.
I had to go to the bathroom.
Like, he's like, yeah. Like, oh, you thought you won? Oh, no. I just had to go.
Continue with your witch hunt, please.
But proceed. But now I want, like, for some reason, the chairs are too stacked too deep. So he's getting up and he's having to do that, like, side shuffle of, like, you know, oh, sorry, excuse me, sorry.
Time to hit the old dusty trail.
It's like really awkward. You know, it's like, why did we put so many chairs in this tiny conference room? Like, it's like, give it more space.
But yeah, that is because it ostensibly nothing happens in that episode. I mean, like, it is a bottle episode 100%. Is there even a B story or is it just the straight drumhead?
Well, the sabotage, right? Isn't that in that episode? Yeah, that's technically a B plot.
Because it's like, first, you know, the explosion had happened. It was like, what, Klingons were suspected? It's all vague to me. And then like, oh, And it takes him like 15% of the episode to be like, oh no, that was an accident. But then the second thing happened, and I forget what the second thing is.
There's an accident, but then through the research into that one, they discover something's odd about this ensign who's, you know, which we find out is half, you know, half
Ron. Not even half. I think like a quarter or something. Yeah. Like his grandfather was.
Yeah. And he's like, that is not a crime, Worf. You know.
His grandfather visited Romulus once, and that was
Now I want to see that scene again. Yeah, visited Romulus. Where he's, instead of just saying that it's not a crime, Picard takes off his badge. That is not a crime. And just, you know, just smacks Worf, you know. But no badge. I can do what I want.
Mr. Worf, we have to go over to this one planet for just a second.
Yeah. Mr. Worf, launch me a shuttlecraft and park it just off our starboard bow. Why, sir? Boom.
Is this like international water? Which I know is not.
Oh, thing, gosh.
But like, it's like
international space.
Yeah. What if we're like 1,000 meters past the starship, we are in open space.
You know, he could go on the captain's yacht. And that there counts because, you know, it's his.
Are you telling me Picard is inviting people to the captain's yacht just to smack them? Like, if you get the invitation, oh, God.
No harm, no foul.
What did I do? Yeah.
It's the principal's office of the Enterprise D.
Come see the ready room. No, ready room is where I chill, says Picard. That's not discipline.
You're going to take this ladder down to the captain's yacht at the bottom. Yeah, no turbo lift for you. You got to go all the way down. And they're
we have to do the startup sequence, not telling you why you're there. So it's like,
Picard has had the engineering team change the emergency battle bridge turbolift to only go to the captain's yacht. It's a straight shot. Who knows why that seems a little less important than going to the battle bridge, but you know, that's what the captain wanted. And then Jellicoe put it back like it should have. I can picture that too now with Jellicoe being like, okay, everyone, go to the battle bridge. And then he stands over by that particular door and they're going to the regular. He's like, where are you guys going? It's a square tube. It only goes to the battle bridge.
Oh, you have not seen Discovery, have you, Darren? You don't know how big these
tubes
really are.
No.
It does make me think that there should
be a list. Star Trek V turbolift or, you know, hallway.
Numbers. Over. Where it goes,
yeah, I'll take that over
5, 10, 42, 58, 7.
I don't care. I'm taking it over Star Trek Discovery. But yes,
but it does make me think there should be a list of other things Captain Jellicoe changed that were better. You know, it's like put Troy in a uniform. I mean, I say put asked, yeah,
four requested shifts.
You know, and then like other stuff that he corrected that we've never like, oh, the color is wrong. He fixed that. You know.
It'd be funny if the
renumbered the decks correctly.
The nameplate on the bridge was like crooked, and you see him going into it.
It's like a fixed. Yeah. And we're like, oh, maybe we hate the guy, but like there were so many things that we had complained about for six years.
He got rid of the fish.
He feeds Livingston.
He got rid of the fish, was good.
It'd be funny, like he got rid of them. We're all like, what? He got rid of, and like you see, like in the
he's in a water planet. He's like set free. He's like leaping out of the water. I'm free.
No, I was saying like in the ship's arboretum, there's now like this huge aquarium with all the fish and like, and finally like things like I can finally move more than like 1 meter. Wow.
Right.
This is freedom, buddy. I mean, this is the life. And then like a week later, like, oh, Picard wants the fish back. No, I was free. I had friends.
Well, maybe that, you know, that bubble aquarium, maybe it was like actually connected to a tube that went down behind the bulkhead to like cetacean ops. So you can go through.
Are you saying that when Picard walks into the ready room, he's like, oh, God,
I'm on duty. And then he gets up and he's just like really slow, like blah, 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 blah.
So oh, good. He's looking at the book.
He's tunneled his way out of the back. And he's escaped into the rest of the cetacean ops system. Let's see. Oh, gosh. I mean, all of Lower Decks, pretty much. I mean, we've only been talking about TNG and DS9 mostly, but I mean, those episodes are so good. They're so funny. I honestly, what was it? The, I can't remember the name, but the Vindictive one, the one where it's making fun of the movies. I haven't laughed that much at a Star Trek episode in a long time. That was,
she's a handsome lady.
Well, it's just like when they're just flying around and spinning around the Cerritos over and over. I'd say that moment is on par with when they go to DS9 and they're like,
about to say.
And they're like, well, let's just fly majestically around it. And they're like, should we park? Or nope, just keep circling, you know, and that music's playing. It's so true. Yeah. I mean, I know it looks better flying around in circles, but you think like find some range point off the whatever docking ring and just park the ship there. There's no reason to circle around the ship.
It's like when for some bizarre reason, I found myself watching the motion picture like 2 times in the past 3 months. So it's
like a day of your life you've committed to that.
I don't know why. And I'm always like, you know, of course that scene is stupid, but it's fun. Or it's you know, it is what it is about, you know, the Enterprise on the dock and whatever. But like, it's because I've seen it now like a dozen times, I'm like, it is kind of indefensible because, like, if you look at the path that shuttle pod is taking, like, it is the most roundabout, like, you know, Billy from Family Circus way to get to the dock in the ship. I'm like, even allowing, like, we want to do the scenic route, you could still do this and cut that in half of the way that shuttle pod is, like, going all the way around and then halfway through and then back up into the, like, come on.
I'm picturing the visual effects artist now who, like, okay, we want all these beautiful panning shots of the Enterprise model. It's on the big screen. We want to show it. We're like, great. That sounds great. Oh, and we have to composite this shuttle pod on top of that and match the lighting and angles for every single shot. They're like, oh, okay.
We can do that. That technology exists.
Yeah. That will exist within the 6 months that we have to do this shot. Yes. Let me go tell the team. Bye.
I'll be talking to ILM. I'll be right back.
Surely that will be the only visual effects in this movie. So then we will definitely have the time to do
it. We got a few more shots to talk about. I'm leaving now. See you later.
I mean, have a great idea for how this alien spaceship looks like. So it sounds like your idea is a lot.
What do you feel about space clouds?
just clouds.
I mean, I'm just throwing spit.
How big is an AU really? Do we even know?
How about, and I'm going to counter your offer here, how well are your actors good at just reacting to nothing? We could just show that. Like, I think a lot of, you know what? I think there's a lot of power in the imagination than there is on the screen. I think seeing what someone looks like communicates what they're seeing just as well.
Yeah, which is funny because, I mean, we all know a big thing of Star Trek is, sir, you have to get down here to see this. I'm not going to tell you. You can't pull up a security monitor to see what's going on. Only physical on the scene property is possible. And I'm like, but even when we're in the bridge with the biggest screen on this ship, we still can't look at it at the same time as our people.
It bothers me so much whenever that happens. Whenever they're like, "We need to get down here." Okay, well, is it an alien? Is what, like, is Q there? Like, what is it? Like, what
are the antimatter pods about to blow? Like,
you use your words, man. Use your words,
I think, and it happens a billion times. I'm sure the one that for some reason sticks in my head, and it's not like it's the most egregious example, but it's a movie, and I think that's what gets it in my brain is Generations, when they're like, "Commander, you'd better look at this," and it's like they pull over the dead guy and it's a Romulan. But I don't know, for some reason I'm like, this is a movie, guys, we don't have to do the TV stuff, like we can elevate it a little bit, you know.
There's some dead Romulans over here, come take a look.
Like, sir, you're not gonna believe this. Like, even that's better than you need to take a look at this.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, I goodness, believe
Commander
it.
What the I heck believe he's this. Like, what is it?
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, it's just the tell not show of syndicated television, because and then we'd have to make an effect shot. It's like, no, we could just say it over the audio. Audio is always the best. Never gonna need anything better. Never gonna need any cameras where you are on a way mission. Audio logs for days. All right. Well, we've taken a small trip around the soul, and we've gone back in time in our bird of prey. No, but we've had a. It's been fun, just kind of reminiscing and discussing a lot of great moments in a few of the shows that we've mentioned. But if you have a favorite scene from Star Trek, could be from any, could be something from TAS for all it the expanse of Star Trek.
Kirk is a jerk.
Oh, the comedy peaked with that. You know, never got any funnier. But you can find us on thenerdparty.com and also go find us on Twitter and let us know what your favorite, I was going to say TNG, but not just TNG, your favorite.
TNG is not the only thing we're talking about.
I know. It's not. It's not. Oh, don't even. But it's been fun. It's been a great 300 episodes so far as we continue. You know, you'd think we'd be rescued from City Alpha by this point, but alas, it is not to be. But Daniel, if someone wanted to find you and ask about your favorite Discovery episode, where would they find you?
Don't ask me that. I won't tell you. You can't find me. I failed.
Section 31.
At One Up Diane. That's the number one, not the word.
For I like one episode of Discovery.
I might like one episode of Discovery.
And Philip, if someone wanted to ask you about your counting skills of episodes, where would they find you?
I think the reason we're stranded is because people think this is City Alpha 4 instead of City Alpha 3. Because obviously, this being the third planet, you would mistake it for the fourth one.
Let's see. Do the math. It's Alamarine. Yeah, to four. Exactly. Alamarine, then three more. Okay.
Yeah, and you can find me at NC Public Servant. That's NC for not counting.
And if someone wanted to talk to me about my favorite Q episode with a snap, because that's how Q say it. Bears say it with a slap and Q say it with a snap. They can go to drscifi.com, DRSCIFI. Well, I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here for 300 souls on City Alpha 3.